is I've been waiting to start this series because I think this series called Remix is going to be a great, great series for us. Remix means simply by definition, let me start here. If you don't have the app already, let me encourage you to download the app because if you open your app up and go to Sunday and then go to Sermons, you'll find my notes right there, fill in the blanks, and you can fill those out, okay? So Remix is defined simply, now this is deep, so if you're taking notes, you might want to take this. Remix is defined simply as to mix something again, right? That's pretty deep, right? To mix something again. Now, in preparation for this, I've been listening to remixes all week long, right? So I've been going back, I've been listening to some older stuff remixed. I've been listening. My favorite one thus far is the playlist that we've got for pre-service. They've taken a whole lot of our popular worship songs and they've remixed them. Somebody sat at a soundboard somewhere and they listened to this music and they remixed it with some techno type of stuff. So, you know, and it just gives it a cool vibe, right? And so I believe that there are four re-words that over the next 4 weeks we're going to remix into our lives. I'm going to give you those four words right now. Number one, we're going to talk about being restored. Then we're going to talk about being renewed. Thirdly, we're going to talk about refocus. Come on. And then lastly, we're going to talk about being refreshed, right? Restore, renew, refocus, and refresh. I believe that if we'll take these four words and we will remix those into our lives, at the beginning of the school year, we haven't gotten too far into the school year, and it's kind of proven that the school year serves as a second New Year's for everybody, because what happens is when the school year starts over, all of a sudden people start rethinking life, refocusing their priorities and trying to get everything straight. So I believe that at the beginning of this school year, if we'll remix these four words into our life, that it will put us on the right track to becoming the person that God has designed us to be. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So I want you to look at your neighbor right now and I want you to say this: remix your best life now. Y'all have heard that. Everybody's talking about living your best life now, living your best life now. I'm going to say you need to remix your best life now, right? In Psalm 23, the Bible says this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside the peaceful streams." And then verse 3 in the New Living Translation says this: "He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name." But the NASB says it like this: "He restores my soul." Everybody say, "He restores my soul." Psalm 23 is written from the perspective of sheep. High five your neighbor and say, "You look like a sheep to me." Right? It's written from the perspective of sheep, and in essence, it's a Christian's claim to belonging in the family of God, right? Now, if you're like me, I was born and raised in church. Maybe some of you were born and raised in church. Maybe those of you, this is your first time, maybe you were born and raised in church and you've been out of church for a little while, and maybe there's a reason you were out of church. I really don't argue those reasons, because I do believe that there are some reasons that people get turned off to church, but if you're like me and you've been born and raised in and around church, you'll know that there is a common mindset that if you are really a Christian, if you are really a follower of Jesus, if you're really a church-going person, there really wouldn't need to be any restoring of your soul. There wouldn't really be any need for you to be cast down at any point, right? But the fact of the matter is if you live your life, you're going to find out that sooner or later, you're going to come to a place where you are what the Bible calls cast down. Everybody shout, cast down. You're going to find out that you will get to a place of being cast down. If you haven't gotten there yet, hold on, because you will. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And you'll find out that you need Him to restore your soul. Now, the first thing we have to understand is, what is our soul? So for this, I need three volunteers. I need three volunteers. Any able-bodied men or women? Russ, you got voluntold, brother. Come on up. Who's? I said three. Who's coming up? Oh, here comes Billy. Y'all come on up. Y'all come on up. All right. So Russell, if you'll stand right here. Sam, if you'll stand right here. And Billy, if you'll stand right over here. Will you give these guys a great big hand? So, I'll be with you guys in just a second, okay? So, if you've been in and around church, you've probably heard the story in Genesis where God created everything. And when He got around to man, He said, "Let us make man in our own image." Now, for us to understand that, we've got to understand there is a theological word, and I'm trying not to be incredibly theological while I'm in here, or at least speaking in theological terms, but it's one that we have to understand for us to be able to understand the rest of my message. So I'm going to teach for just a second. All right? So the theological term is, we call God a triune God, which means that God is a one God, but He has three distinct expressions of Himself, or some would say personalities, and we understand that, or we've heard it, that God expresses Himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or if you from the background I am, Holy Ghost, right? Anybody from that background, just wave at me, Holy Ghost, right? And so God the Father had a meeting with God the Son, and they brought in God the Holy Ghost and said, "Let us make man in our own image." So what He did was, He made man, and He made man body. You go, Russell, you are body.
Okay, I'm body. Amen. Amen.
God help. Right? Russell is our body. Sam, you are our soul, right? Billy, you are our spirit.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, right? Okay. I just like the fact that my spirit man has tattooed sleeves. Right? Just something about that. Just, you know, it just kind of makes me happy. And so He made man with a, well, he made man a spirit. Man is a spirit. We possess a soul that lives in a body. That theologically, that's how we would word that, right? Now, what we have to understand about these three is, my spirit, Billy, my spirit man, you are the one that is most connected to heaven, right? Our spirit is most connected to heaven. Now, it's the part of you that before you accept Jesus into your life, I can't see what they're doing behind me, so I trust my spirit, Billy. It's the part of you that's most connected to heaven. And it is also the part of you that the Bible says that before you accepted Jesus or surrendered your life to Jesus, it's dead in trespasses and sin. Right? Your body wasn't dead before you came to Jesus. You were sucking air. Right? You had blood flowing through your veins. You were functioning as a human being, but your spirit man was dead. But the day that you knelt down and you gave your heart to Jesus, you surrendered to Jesus, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit moves into your human spirit, and your human spirit comes back to life at that point. It begins to function, and it is the part of you that the Holy Spirit now lives, and it is most connected to heaven. Your spirit is the part of you that longs for the things of God. It's the part of you that wants to pray. It's the part of you that wants to read the Bible. It's the part of you that wants to go to church this morning. Amen. Our body, on the other hand, it's the part of you that's most connected to earth. If you don't believe me, get up in the middle of the night and walk through a dark room and stump your toe. Your body knows how connected to earth you are at that point. Right? If you've ever had a child that's walked into a kitchen while you're cooking and they go to reach up to touch a hot stove, it is not their spirit that screams out in pain. It is their body. Because their body is most connected. But your body is the part of you that is connected to the things of this world. So while your spirit longs to pray, your body wants to go out and do other stuff. Right? Your body's the part of you that longs to overeat. Let's get off of that one. Why y'all laughing? It's not funny. I don't find that funny at all. And so your body's a part of you that wants to do the things that are far from God. He wants to direct you in other paths, in paths that take you away from the things of God. Your soul, Sam, you're our soul. Your soul is here, and your soul is really comprised of three components: your mind or your intellect, your will or your desire, your drive, and your emotions, your feelings. Right? It's your soul that communicates to the rest of you that you are happy. It is your soul that communicates to the rest of you that you are sad. It is your soul when someone cuts you off in traffic that communicates road rage. Come on, somebody make me feel better about myself. Right? Y'all laughed at my fat joke. Now y'all leaving me hanging on my road rage. And so, your soul is that part of you that is really neutral in this whole dichotomy, because now, you're Switzerland, yes. Your spirit is trying to link arms with your soul, because if they can link arms together, they control the whole thing. But your body, your flesh, is also trying to link arms with your soul, because if he gains the power, he controls everything. Right? Now here's this thing. Here's the thing. If your body gets sick, now I know all the spiritual folks in here, you go, well, I'll pray. Well, I'm glad you do. But if your body gets real sick, you're going to go to the doctor. Right? If you find out that your body has cancer, you're going to go and they're going to take you through chemo, they're going to take you through radiation, they're going to take you through whatever needs to be done. If you find out you got heart issues, you might pray, but you're also going to consult your doctor to make sure that the cardiologist does what he needs to do to make sure you function correctly. You make sure that your body stays well. If your spirit gets sick, well, wait a minute. Now, that's the one that's most connected to God. But have you ever noticed that when you start to hang out of church, you start to disconnect from the body of Christ? When you start getting away, all of a sudden you don't feel quite spiritually as good as you did. And a week out, you go, okay, well, I can still handle this. 2 weeks out, you're okay. You might still read your Bible. 3 weeks out, all of a sudden, you're starting to feel the weight of this thing. And you don't read your Bible so much. And you ain't really prayed a whole lot. So what happens when you find yourself spiritually sick? Well, you might pray. You'll probably read your Bible. At some point, you'll probably call your pastor up and go, hey, pastor, can I talk to you for a little while? Can we talk through this? I need some help. And you might go and get some Christian counseling. You might do some of that so that you can get yourself back to where you're spiritually healthy again. But when our soul is sick, we have a tendency to ignore it. Man, it got quiet in this Holy Ghost-filled church this morning. We'll pray to make sure we're spiritually right. We'll take our medicine. We'll take our vitamins. We'll go to the doctor for a checkup to make sure we're physically okay. But when our soul is what the Bible calls cast down, we tend to ignore it. Would you give these guys a great big hand? Thank you, guys. Thank y'all for y'all's help. Appreciate you guys. All of you right here. This is all of me. This is all of me. Right? This is all of me. Thank you, guys. Give them another great big hand. So here's the deal. Do y'all remember David in the Bible? Y'all remember King David? You might remember him as David and Goliath. You know, the story of David and Goliath. Or you might remember David and Bathsheba. Same guy, right? You might have heard the story of David's mighty men. Right? Same guy. David understood what it was like to be cast down. In Psalm 42 and 11, the Bible says this. David said this. He said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him." There's three things I want you to notice about what David did in that scripture. The first thing is this. David acknowledged his situation, which means this. Faith is not denial. Everybody say that. Faith is not denial. Right? We have this tendency in church to believe that if we're sick and we acknowledge that we are sick, we somehow have less faith than someone who denies the fact that they're puking all over the sidewalk. Have you ever met somebody like that? They're absolutely, they're hugging the toilet, and the whole time between vomiting, they're looking back going, "I'm not sick." Yes, you are. The smell in this room would tell us all that you are, right? You can't. Faith is not denial. He acknowledged. He said, "Why are you disquieted? Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He acknowledged the situation that his soul was in. But then he went to step two. He said, "Hope in God." He placed his faith in God, in the middle of his circumstance, in the middle of his trial, in the middle of his difficulty, he'd made a decision that he was going to put his faith in God. Then he said one last thing, and I'm going to hit this, and then I'm going to go on because y'all might not even know this phrase, but when I was back in South Carolina and I was preaching a lot in a lot of different churches, there was a phrase that went around, and it was a phrase. They said, "We're going to give God a yet praise." Anybody ever heard that phrase before? Just wave it, right? A yet praise. We used to talk about that all the time. And basically what a yet praise is we're going to give God praise even though we don't see the answer yet. My God, I wish some of my Pentecostals would join with me this morning. Right? 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 We used to stand up in church and we'd go, "You know what? We acknowledge what's going on in our lives, but I'm going to stand here and tell you that today my faith, my hope, my trust is in God. And because of that, I'm going to praise Him anyhow. I'm going to praise Him in the midst of my family going crazy. I'm going to praise Him in the midst of my children acting a fool. I'm going to praise Him even though my marriage is on shambles. I'm going to praise Him anyhow." Why are you cast down, O my soul? The term cast down, it's an old English shepherd's term. It was a term that was used when a sheep had turned over on its back and couldn't get up again. Y'all remember that old commercial? "I've fallen and I can't get up." Some of y'all remember that commercial. Some of us are living that commercial. Right? Right? "I've fallen and I can't get up." What would happen was a sheep would wander off from the fold. And they would wander off into a pasture, or they wander off into some woods. And they would look for like a little bowl in the ground, a little indention in the ground that would be a place where they could lay over on their side and stretch out their legs. Problem was that when they did that, the center of gravity would then shift and it would roll far enough on its back that its feet no longer touch. Some of y'all, yeah, never mind. And so at this point it begins to panic, begins to kick frantically, which only makes matters worse. It rolls even further. Now, it's absolutely impossible for it to regain its footing. And this is what happens As it lies there, gases begin to build up in its body and it begins to expand. That cuts off the blood flow to its extremities, especially its legs. And the sad truth of the matter is if it's hot, it could die within hours. But if it's a cool day, it could lay there for several days. But the honest truth is that without help, it's doomed. Right? So as I was studying that, I was like, well, why do sheep get cast down? Like, why did they put themselves in that position? Have you ever looked at somebody and you've watched them for a while and they were doing good and then all of a sudden they did something real dumb? We all know those people, right? And you go, why would you put yourself in that position? That's what we're studying this morning, right? Three reasons sheep become cast down. Number one, they're looking for a soft spot. Everybody shout, soft spot. They're looking for some place that would be comfortable. Can I apply that real quick before I move on? I know too many people who are looking for an easy place, a comfortable position. I don't want hardships. I don't want to have to endure anything. I don't want to have to self-discipline. And because many people are looking for an easy life, when difficulties come, they have no strength to pick themselves back up. And they're laying spiritually on their back, kicking. Right? The second reason that sheep get cast down is because they've got too much wool. Or their wool gets too thick and matted with debris. Now, wool, if we're going to apply that, wool would be a symbol or a picture of our old life. Do you remember, we've been talking about Simon Peter over the last 5 weeks here at our church in a series called All In. This is a brand new series today, so we just switched from it. If you'll remember, Simon Peter, he followed after, you know, Jesus asked him to follow him. He jumped off the boat and he started following Jesus. But when the going got tough and people started going, I know you were with him. No, I wasn't with him. I don't know him. 3 times he denied him. And when all of a sudden he realized how bad it had gotten, he looked at his friends and he says, I'm going fishing. He said, I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to my old life. I'm going to wrap myself up in my old wool. The fact of the matter is, I know too many Christians and too many churches that instead of pursuing the things of God, pursuing what God has for them, they become uncomfortable with where they are, so they slip back into what they're comfortable doing. And the fact of the matter is there was a time in my life when I was unsaved longer than I was saved. Now I've been at a place now where I've been saved longer than I've been unsaved. So some of those struggles aren't as bad as they used to be. But back in the day, it was real easy that if my faith got hard, I could slip right on back. And I've noticed that there are a lot of Christians in today's society that want to just let's be honest, they get into church. And some ornery Christian starts gossiping about them. I could have got that in the bar. Why would I? Come on, y'all know I'm preaching good right now. Anyway, I know I'm too white to hoop. That's okay. I'm going to do it anyhow. It's a yet hoop. Until I can do it, I'm going to do it anyhow. Right? But they got too much wool. Third thing is this. The third reason that sheep get cast down. Some of y'all going to get mad when I say this. They just become too fat. They just eating too much. You ever been there? Can I tell y'all a story? I had a couple of folks in the church here this past, I think it was Friday night, is that right? Dave, I'm not going to call any names. Was that right? Was that when we went? And he called me up and he said, hey, well, you've been talking about that Texas Day Brazil. Let's go and do Texas Day Brazil. I said, I'm in. I slipped right back into my old life quick. You see how the enemy works? And so we went to Texas Day Brazil and we sat there and we ate and we ate and we ate. And I felt like this sheep. We rode with Dave and Christy, right? And if you know Dave and Christy, Dave got a big old truck and I'm not a big old guy. So I crawled up in that truck when they picked us up at home and we rode to Texas Day Brazil and we ate and then I came back out of the restaurant and I felt like that sheep. I'm trying to get in the truck and I'm kicking. I finally hoisted myself in and I rolled myself back out. Why are y'all laughing? This is confession. Confession is good for the soul. In Jesus' name. But in all seriousness, how many of you know Christians, and don't raise your hand or point at anybody, but how many of you know people who just sit back and allow those in leadership to feed us on a buffet of ministries, events, and sermons? And what happens is when we don't spiritually exercise by serving, by giving, by doing, we just become spiritually fat. But the fact of the matter is the promise of the scripture is he restores my soul. You see, too often we jump to the second half of that verse in Psalm 23. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. But while we're still suffering from the unrestored soul, we want him to lead and guide us. We want him to direct our paths. We want him to fulfill our dreams. We want him to let all of our dreams come true. But he cannot guide you effectively until he's restored you. Some of us have become like cast down sheep. We become comfortable. We want God to take away all our adversity. You don't want God to ask you to leave your comfort zone. And what's happened is your soul is dying. Or maybe you have too much wool. You still entertain too much of your old pre-Jesus life. You don't want to let go of that habit or that relationship or that old way of thinking. And your soul is dying. Or you've just sat back and you've let everyone else feed you without joining the team. You've gotten spiritually fat and you haven't given while you've been receiving and your soul is dying. But the good news is he restores my soul. So, Pastor, where do we start? Well, we were talking about David just a few minutes ago, and David really gave us a starting point when he hit rock bottom himself, because in Psalm 51, right after he had fallen into sin, it's Psalm 51, 10, 11, and 12 says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Here's the thing. It all begins when we make a decision to restore our relationship with Jesus Christ. The first step that we must take in remixing our lives is to surrender our life to Jesus. Then the Holy Spirit can, as our guide, can take us and remix our lives in such a way that everybody else can listen in and dance along to the melody. Now, I do recognize that I've been talking from all Old Testament scriptures, and we are a New Testament church. But it wasn't just Old Testament scriptures that spoke of us being sheep. Actually, Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 18, 11 through 14. He says this, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." He says, what do you think? If a man had 100 sheep and one goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so it is with your Father in heaven. that none of these little ones should perish. The fact of the matter is today that we are sheep. As the worship team comes back out, I would dare say in a room this size, there are probably some of us sitting here that have wandered off from the fold. Some of us that have taken off to try to find a comfortable place. And we've become cast down. But I just believe that today, as you listen closely, that you'll hear the Father calling out your name. He's searching for you. So I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed. I will tell you, I take these times with that. I believe that the Holy Spirit is moving in our hearts. I take them very seriously. So if you would, please honor this time with the Lord. See, I believe that there are some of you in this room and you're sitting here and maybe you're saved. You're a follower of Jesus, but man, your soul is sick. And you haven't put a lot of time or energy into really focusing on making sure that your soul sickness gets taken care of. But I just believe that the Holy Spirit is here in this moment. That Jesus is calling out your name. And He wants to restore your soul. I believe there are some of you in this room that, you're sitting here and maybe you have been the one that wandered off from the fold. Maybe you say, Pastor, man, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I haven't surrendered my life to Him. I haven't given Him my heart. I'm not a follower of Jesus. I know some about church. I know some about, about religion. I know some about that kind of stuff, but I'm not a follower of Jesus, man. I'm really not pursuing Him. I believe today that the Holy Spirit is here and Jesus is calling out your name. And I believe that if you'll very intentionally right in this moment listen, you'll hear Him. For some of you, you'll hear Him calling out to you. For some of you, you're sitting there and your heart's beating real fast and you're like, I know this little short fat guy's talking to me and I just wish he'd leave me alone. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you in this moment. But I believe that if you'll listen, you will know that the Holy Spirit is calling you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give two separate altar calls. One, if you're in here and you're not a follower of Jesus and you're sitting there and you're going, I know I'm not a follower of Christ. I know that I'm not surrendered to Him. I'm not living for Him. And I know that He is trying to get my attention and He's trying to call my name. And I've ignored it up until now. And I've kind of wandered off on my own. But this morning I hear Him calling me home. I hear him walking through the woods calling my name. And so today I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to count to three. And if you're in this room and you go, Pastor, that's me. I'm not a follower of Jesus, but I want to be before I walk out of here this morning. I want you just to shoot your hand up real quick. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point you out. I would do absolutely nothing to hurt you or embarrass you in this moment. But I do want to introduce you to the Great Shepherd. So if you're here on the count of three, Pastor, I'm not a follower of Jesus, but I want to be. Would you just shoot your hand up real high on the count of three? One, two, three. Anybody in the building? Anybody? I see a hand back here. I see one back there. I see one back there. Anybody else? I'm not one to prolong it. I see one back there. Second altar call. This is what I'm... If you're in here and you are soul sick today, when I started talking about being cast down, you go, man, Pastor, you're talking straight to me. I've ignored my own soul sickness. I know I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm okay with Him, and I'm good with Him, but I've allowed my soul to get sick. And I recognize this morning that the Holy Spirit is calling me. Thank you. On the count of three, would you shoot your hand up? One, two, three. Man, there are hands all over this building. So here's what I'm going to ask. Everybody looking at me, this is what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask our prayer team to go ahead and come up back up to the front. If I could get, and this is switching it up a little bit, but if I get part of you on this side and part of you on this side. So here's what we're going to do, because I don't want to neglect any of these things that are happening in this moment. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. If you are in this room right now and you have raised your hand, you say, Pastor, I'm not a follower of Jesus, but I want to be. I know I'm not saved, but I want to be before I walk out of this room. When I release you to come up, I'm going to ask for both sets to come up. If you would come up to this side over here, they are going to walk with you through. I'm going to pray with you, but they're going to walk with you through. They're going to pray with you individually. They're going to pray and just they're going to lead you to the Lord. If you are in here and you say, Pastor, I'm soul sick. I've got some stuff going on. I've just let my soul go, and I need some healing. I need God to step in and restore my soul. If that's you, when I release people to come forward, if you would come up and come to this side. Man, these folks are going to pray with you. They're going to minister to you. And I believe that before you walk out of this place or you head over to this carnival, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to do a work of restoration in you that only He can do.